It's been a real pleasure for us to have been with you these 3 weeks here in Tenafly. And we trust the Lord will bless to the hearts of each of you those thoughts that we've gleaned from His Word, that each of us might become more mature in our Christian lives and thus be drawn closer to the Lord and be of better service for Him. We want to also express our appreciation to the Pavisis and the Kabuchis and the Spellmeyers for adding 10 pounds to our weight, which is something that we didn't need. It will take us another month to get rid of that now. But we have enjoyed being with you, and we appreciate your attendance at the meetings and trust they've been a blessing to you. Now tonight we'd like to look at the sixth question, beginning with the word wherein, as we find it in the book of Malachi, and that question is found in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. We'll read two or three verses from this portion. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And the Lord answers, in tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Verse 13, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord, yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept His ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And the last verse of the chapter, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. May the Lord bless to us the reading of these few verses from His holy word. Now tonight, as we mentioned, we would like to consider with you this sixth question that we find in verse 8 of chapter 3, wherein have we robbed thee? The Lord has given a specific answer to the question that is asked in verse 7, wherein shall we return? As we mentioned this morning, the Jewish nation had not kept the ordinances and laws and statutes and commandments of God, and the Lord urges them to return to Him and not to follow in the paths of their forefathers, which led them into the Babylonian captivity, but to give up their sin and rebellion and obey once again those commandments, those statutes, those ordinances that He had declared that they should follow. And in their own self-righteous attitude, the children of Israel, again refusing to admit that they were sinners, that they had strayed from God, asked the question, wherein shall we return? They had taken the attitude that they really weren't doing anything wrong. They couldn't understand why it was that the Lord would tell them that they were far from Him, and when He says, return unto me, they say, wherein shall we return? And so the Lord finds it necessary once again to be specific with them. And in these verses that we have read tonight, He gives them a specific example of where it is that they have not followed His ordinances. And the example that He gives to them has to do with tithes and offerings. And the question is asked, will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? And when that question is asked, even if it were asked of you and me, the answer would probably come very quickly. And that answer would be, no one would ever think of robbing God. That would be an unthinkable thing. That would be an intolerable situation to rob God. Why, we wouldn't even think of robbing each other, let alone robbing a holy and righteous God. And yet the Lord says to them here, ye have already robbed me. This isn't something that's going to happen tomorrow. It's not something that's going to happen in a future day. He says to them, after the question is asked in verse 8, will a man rob God? He says, yet have ye have robbed me. And then again, the Israelites ask the question, clouded by their own self-righteousness, clouded by their sin, wherein have we robbed thee? The Lord himself tells them that they have already robbed him, and they look into his face and ask another question, wherein have we robbed thee? Show us, Lord, where it is that we've robbed thee. And this has been their attitude as we've considered these questions all through this book of Malachi. No matter what it was the Lord said to them, they wanted to argue with the Lord, they wanted to refute his statement, and they've asked him, wherein is it? Wherein is it? When God told them he loved them, they questioned his love. When God told them that they offered polluted bread upon the altar, they disagreed with that. When God told them that they had despised his name, they asked him where it was that they despised his name. When the Lord said, return unto me, they argued with him again and said, we're not far from thee, Lord. Wherein shall we return? And here again, when they're told that they have already robbed God, the question is asked, wherein have we robbed thee? And the Lord answers them. The Lord very specifically says to them, all right, you want to know where it is that you have robbed me? I'll tell you where it is. You've robbed me in tithes and offerings. In tithes and offerings. Withholding of tithes is called robbing God. The tithe was God's property. It belonged to him. And an individual had no right to keep it to himself any more than he had a right to steal something that belonged to another man. But that's what they were doing. And God says, that's where you're robbing me. There's a specific example of what you're doing that is contrary to my word. There's a specific example of where it is that you are breaking my commandments, that you are not keeping one of my ordinances. You are keeping the tithe for yourself. You are keeping the offerings for yourself. Now, in the event that some of you may not understand what a tithe is, we might just take a moment or two to talk about that. A tithe, as we find it in the Word of God, is simply giving a portion of that which we have to the Lord. And in Scripture, that portion is a tenth of what we have. Now, there are instances of tithing in the Word of God before the Levitical tithes under the law. You may remember that Abram, after the victory that he had over his enemies, after he had rescued Lot from his enemies, gave a tenth of all that he had to Melchizedek. And then Jacob, when he had that dream, after that vision at Bethel, the Word of God tells us that he devoted a tenth of all of his property to God. So it was something that existed even before the Levitical law. But then the law was given, and the first enactment of the law, as we find it recorded for us in the Word of God, tells us that a tenth of all that was produced and a tenth of all of the flocks and cattle belong to the Lord and must be offered to him Now listen to those words carefully. A tenth of all the produce, a tenth of all the cattle, a tenth of all of the flocks belonged to the Lord. It wasn't theirs to start with. It was the Lord's. And it was to be given to the Lord because it belonged to Him. And this tenth that was to be given to the Lord was assigned to the Levites as a reward for their service. But the Levites were to take a tenth of what was given to them, and they were to give that to the Lord, specifically for the purpose of maintaining the high priest. And then there was another tithe, a second tithe that was to be given. And that second tithe was for festival purposes. And then every third year there was another tithe that was to be given. And that third tithe was for the poor. So the children of Israel were responsible not just for that flat 10% that we seem to have in our minds, but they were responsible to give back to God because it was already His, not only a tenth of all that they had, but another tenth on top of that, and every third year another tenth on top of that. And this was God's commandment. This was God's law. Is tithing for us today? Is giving to the Lord a tenth of all that we have something that the Word of God tells us that we should be following today? Well, as we mentioned this morning, we are no longer under law, but we are under grace. And in the New Testament, we have no instruction, no specific instruction that we are to tithe in the sense that the nation of Israel was to tithe under the law. But the New Testament does give us some very explicit instructions as to what we are to do regarding our giving to God. And one of these instructions, and this may be academic to you, perhaps you're all very familiar with it, but it certainly bears repeating. But one of these instructions we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, and this is what it says. It says, upon the first day of the week, not the third or the fourth or the sixth, but on the first day of the week, let every one of you lay up or lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. Let me repeat that verse again so I get it straight this time. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. Now this verse tells us a lot about the practice of giving in this age of grace in which we live. When are we to give? We are to give on the first day of the week. Why are we to give on the first day of the week? Because it's the first day of the week that we gather together to remember our Lord Jesus Christ, when all of us who have been redeemed by His blood meet together to remember Him, to remember His suffering, to remember His death upon Calvary's cross. It's not by accident that we meet on the first day of the week. It's not by choice of the brethren that we meet on the first day of the week. The Word of God tells us that that's when we should come together. The example was given to us by the apostles. That's when they met to break bread, to remember the Lord on the first day of the week. And here we're told that that's the time that we are to give of our substance to God. What are we to give? A tenth? That's not what it says. It says, as God hath prospered him. That means that each of us has a different responsibility before God. And how is that responsibility determined? That responsibility can only be determined between you and your Lord. No one can tell you what it is that you are to give. No one can dictate or legislate what it is, but your responsibility is right here, and it is your responsibility because the word is, let every one of you, no exception, and this includes young people who are working for $2 an hour in the A&P, just as well as it includes the guy who has a $100,000 year job in one of those ivory towers in Manhattan, the responsibility is the same. Let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. And this is the responsibility that is ours, and this is when it is that we are to give. The principle, of course, is also that of first fruits, the beginning of the week, the first day we are to give our first fruits to the Lord. And then 2 Corinthians 9:6, we have a promise. You've all heard the stories about good news and bad news. Well, that's what we have here. We have good news and bad news. And the bad news is, he that giveth sparingly shall reap sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Do you think the Lord is fooling when he makes statements of that kind? He certainly is not. And you will find in your experience that that statement that we find in the Word of God is absolutely true, and you can depend on it. And you will find that the more you give to the Lord, the more the Lord is going to bless you. And the less you give to the Lord, the less the Lord is going to bless you. Now, there's one thing we must be careful of. There's no promise that that blessing is going to come while we're here, although many, many times it does. But that's not the promise. The real blessing awaits us in a coming day when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we are rewarded for that which we have done for God, and rewards are withheld because of that which we have not done. And then in verse 7 of that same chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we have some instruction again. How are we to give? Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. The children of Israel had to give at least a tenth of all that they had. That was the law. Under grace, that's not what we're told. We're told not of necessity, not grudgingly, as was often the case with the children of Israel. Well, we have to do it, so I guess we got to do it. But God loveth a cheerful giver. And our giving should be directed by the Holy Spirit of God, as the Holy Spirit of God puts purpose in our heart. And that's the direction that we should receive as we consider giving to the Lord. Now, although we are not under law, although we are under grace, and although these verses tell us that we are to give as God hath prospered us, that we are to give cheerfully, that we are not to give grudgingly, that we are not to give of necessity, and although we have the promise that those of us who sow bountifully shall reap bountifully, and so on, I would still suggest to you that even though we're not under law, that like many other things that we find recorded for us in the Old Testament that applied to the nation of Israel, is a pretty good example for us to follow today. God doesn't demand that we follow it, as he did them. But nevertheless, it's a pretty good example. And it seems to me that the least we can do is to give a tenth of all that we have to the Lord. But as soon as I say that, I'm going to contradict myself. Because notice what the Lord says here in this eighth verse. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And the answer comes in tithes and what? Offerings. We've been talking about tithes. And the tithes were the 10%. And the 10% for the festivals. And the 10% every third year for the poor. That belonged to God, as we mentioned. That was already His. And there was no right whatsoever in withholding it. And withholding it is called robbing God because it belongs to God. May I suggest to you tonight that that 10% is not giving? That 10% already belongs to God. It's His. He has claimed it. And it's only what we give over and above that that is called in the Word of God an offering. Will a man rob God? How? In tithes and offerings. He is robbing God by withholding from God that which was already God's. It doesn't belong to Him in the first place. But he's also withholding from God His own gift, that which he should be giving to the Lord out of the fullness of his heart, because he loves the Lord for what he has done for him. To me, it's no different than what happens to us every payday. When you get your paycheck, good old Uncle Sam is there, and he takes his part of that before you even see it. Isn't that right? You never even get it, so you don't miss it. It's his. It belongs to him. He takes it. Well, God doesn't take it in that way. I say this reverently. He'd get a lot more if he did. God doesn't take it in that way, but the principle is the same. It's his. That's the tithe. The offering is what we give to him over and above that which is already his. Will a man rob God? Yes, he will. How does he rob God? He withholds from God the tithes and the offerings. You know, there's one thing that we should remember. And again, I say this reverently, but it's so true. God doesn't need our money. He doesn't. He's the owner of the cattle on a thousand hills. All of earth is his. All of heaven is his. The universe is his. He doesn't need your nickels and dimes and my nickels and dimes. But he gives us the opportunity to give it to him that we might in this practical way express to him our appreciation, our gratitude for that which he has done for us. God has provided a practical way, and oh, how we need practical ways in our Christian experience. Things that we are familiar with, you know, that we can see and we can touch and we can feel. We keep talking about living by faith, but we sure like to live by substance. But God has provided this practical way that we might express to him the love that we have for the love that he has given to us through the person of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. But I think we might pause just for a moment so that there's no misunderstanding, and just say that if by any chance you're here tonight without ever having trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that which we have been talking about giving of our substance will never, ever, ever gain salvation for you. Salvation cannot be bought. The price has been already been paid by the Lord Jesus Christ when he went to Calvary's cross and gave his life. This tremendous price that the Son of God paid to accomplish your redemption and mine. And there is nothing that you and I can do in the way of payment to obtain salvation. The Word of God tells us that we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And if you want salvation tonight, it cannot be yours by a price. You cannot purchase it. You cannot buy it. It's available only by faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and by believing that he went to the cross and gave his life and shed his blood and paid the penalty for your sin. If you're willing to believe that by faith and trust him as your personal Savior, then eternal life will be yours. But never, ever, ever think that salvation can be purchased in any way by anything that you can give to God. Now, we've been talking about robbing God by withholding tithes and offerings, by withholding our money, if you will. But this is not the only way in which we can rob God. It was the specific way that God pointed out to the children of Israel here in the book of Malachi. But this question that has been asked really sums up all of the things that we've been talking about these past 3 weeks. As we've been considering these questions found here in the book of Malachi, we have noted various ways in which those of us who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ can rob God, can withhold from God that which God deserves to receive. And so in these closing moments of our time together tonight, let's just briefly review those things that we've considered together as they've been brought to our attention by these 6 questions. And you'll notice in every single one of them, we can be robbing God if we have the same attitude that the children of Israel had. What was the first question that is asked in the book? Wherein hast thou loved us? God looks down upon his people and he says, I love you. And the people of Israel, instead of expressing appreciation and warmth and gratitude for that expression of love on the part of God the Father, asks this question, wherein hast thou loved us? They were not willing to admit that God loved them in spite of all he had done for them. How is this a reflection of robbing God? May I ask you tonight, how often have you told the Lord that you love him? Does it happen very frequently? How often have you told him that you love him in words? How often have you told him that you love him by your actions? Or are we all guilty of taking this wonderful relationship that we have with our Savior and with our God for granted? This happens quite frequently in human relationships, doesn't it? Unfortunately, it happens too in our spiritual relationships. And we lose our appreciation of love for our Lord Jesus Christ. In essence, we are robbing him of the love that is his due. And then we consider together the second question, wherein have we despised or wherein have we dishonored thy name? The Israelites neither honored nor feared the Lord. Do we honor him? Do we fear him? Or are we robbing him of that honor and that fear that is due him? And by so doing, are we bringing dishonor to his name? Are we robbing the Lord of that which he so rightly deserves? Honor, because he is our Father, and fear, because we are his servants. Then thirdly, we looked at the question, wherein have we polluted thee? And we brought to your attention the fact that the children of Israel were bringing the second best to the Lord. They were bringing the lame, the blind, and the halt, and placing that upon the altar instead of bringing the best that they had. They were giving God second best. They were robbing God of the best. Are we guilty of that? Are we giving God second best? Are we robbing him? Are we robbing the Lord Jesus Christ of the preeminent place that he should have in our lives? Are we holding back of our time, of our talents, of our gifts, of our resources? Are we keeping that to ourselves instead of giving it to the Lord and letting him use it in whatever way he sees fit? Are we robbing him of the best that we have? Wherein have we wearied him? The Lord was tired of listening to the complaining and grumbling and hostility of the children of Israel. Instead of doing what they should have been doing, having hearts full of praise for all that God had done for them down through their years of history and was continuing to do for them, they complained and they rebelled and they grumbled. They had a grudging attitude. They robbed God of praise. Do we have that attitude? Is our attitude one of thanksgiving? Is our attitude one of lifting our hearts in adoration and thanksgiving and praise to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or can we be classified as complainers and grumblers? Are we robbing God of the praise that he so richly deserves? And then this morning we considered the question, wherein shall we return? The children of Israel were disobedient to his ordinances, to his commands, to his laws, to his statutes. They robbed God of obedience. This is what God demanded of them, that they obey his word. What is the character of your life and mine? Are we following the instruction of the Word of God? Are we being true to the Word of God? Are we living lives that can be considered holy lives? Or are we robbing God of obedience? Can we be classified as disobedient, rebellious people? Wherein shall we return? Are we robbing God in this area? And then, of course, the question we've considered tonight, wherein have we robbed thee, speaking specifically of tithes and offerings, but also in all of the areas reflected by their questions, they were robbing God. They were robbing God of their love. They were robbing God of their honor. They were robbing God of their best. They were robbing God of their praise. They were robbing God of their obedience. They were robbing God of his money, of his resources. Every one of these six questions reflected an area in which they were robbing God. And as we have tried to point out Sunday after Sunday while we've been here, you and I can be guilty of the same thing if we're not careful. We can be robbing God. And all of this is a reflection of the self-righteous attitude that the children of Israel had. An attitude that can be true of you and me. If we permit sin to enter in, for it was sin that caused their condition. It was sin that led them into despair. Are we giving to him the love that he deserves? Are we giving to him the honor that is his right? Are we obedient to his commands? Are we devoting our time and talent and resources to him, those things that are rightfully his? Are we giving to him that which is his, and on top of it piling our offering, our gift, as an expression of our appreciation and love to him? Or are we robbing God? We mentioned the first week we were here that there was another question in this chapter, that although it didn't begin with the word wherein, it could very well. And that's found over in the 13th verse. What or wherein have we spoken so much against thee? And this seems to me to tie together all of the things we've been talking about these 3 weeks. The Lord levels another accusation against the children of Israel. He says, your words have been stout against me. And again they raise a question, what have we spoken so much against thee? What have they spoken against him? The next verse tells us what it is that they've spoken against him. They've said, in essence, it's vain to serve God. It's no use serving God. What good is it to serve God? What profit is it that we have kept his ordinances? What advantage is it that we've walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Think of that reply. Think of those questions. Were they serving God? They were not. Were they keeping his ordinances? They were not. Were they walking mournfully before the Lord of hosts? They were not. And God has to point out to them their sinful, sinful condition. They were robbing God by their attitude and by their actions. And in the last verse of the chapter, as we hurriedly close, for our time is gone, we have the promise of the Lord that the day is coming when there will be true recognition as to those who serve God truly and those who do not serve him. The children of Israel thought they were serving him. They thought they were being true to him. In their own self-righteousness, they couldn't even see what it was that was wrong. The Lord says, a day is coming when you'll know. And you know, my dear friend, the day is coming when you and I will know as well. For those of us who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ in that coming day are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Nothing to do with our salvation. But we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we are going to receive from the hands of our Savior rewards for that which we have done for him with a true motivation of love in our hearts. And the Word of God says that those things that we receive from him are going to be based upon that which we have done, which are considered by him as gold and silver and precious stones, those things that are eternal, those things that cannot be destroyed, those things that came because of motivation of love for our Savior. But all of the things that we have done or thought we have done or said we have done, as the children of Israel are saying here, which were not true of us, as great as we may think they are going to be burned because the Word of God calls them wood, hay, and stubble. They have no value whatsoever. There will be no rewards in that coming day. This is a serious thing that I don't think we really appreciate. But again, I say what I said to you last Sunday, that in itself should not be our motivation. The promise of a reward in the coming day should not be our motivation for serving God. We should serve God because we love Him. We should serve God because He gave His Son to die for us, and in a deep, deep appreciation of that tremendous fact and of the wonderful salvation that is ours in Him, we should be willing to do all that's necessary to live for God, to be obedient to His Word, to give to Him all that He deserves, and to serve Him in whatever way He would have us do. And this is the primary thought that we would like to leave with you as we conclude our time together. One other promise I'd like to call to your attention, and it's found in verse 10 of chapter 3. It's a promise, it's a challenge. The Lord, in essence, says, I'm going to throw a challenge out to you. I'd like you to take me at my word. Try me. Try me. And what does He say? If you will be obedient to me, I will pour out upon you blessing in such a magnitude that you can't even be able to receive it all. And He says, would you like me to prove that to you? Try me out and I'll prove it. You be obedient to me and to my word, and I will pour blessing down upon you such as you have never seen, nor will there be room enough for you to receive it. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Let me tell you, my Christian friend, it's a true, true promise from God, and God's promises will never be broken. You want to receive blessing in your heart, blessing such as you've never seen before, then don't rob God. Give God the love, the honor, the obedience. That is His right. That is His due. Give Him your talent. Give Him your service. Give Him your resources. Give Him the preeminent place in your life. And if you will, showers of blessing will come down upon you that will flood your soul so great that you'll not be able to receive it. And it's true, because God says so. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for the lessons that Thou hast for us in Thy word. And as we've considered these very serious thoughts these past 3 weeks, we ask, blessed God, that by Thy Holy Spirit, Thou wilt impress them upon each of our hearts, that we may give the Lord Jesus Christ the place that He so richly deserves in our lives. We recognize, our Father, that that may require change of attitude, change of actions, change of emotions. And yet we thank Thee for Thy promise that if we're willing to do that, to give to Him the love, the honor, the obedience He deserves, that Thou wilt richly bless us both now and in a coming day. Should there be those, Father, who are still without Christ, speak to their hearts tonight. May they trust Jesus Christ as personal Savior before they walk out of the doors of this building. Again, we ask You to part us with Thy blessing. Give us a safe journey to our destinations, a restful night, and if our Lord Jesus Christ does not come and we venture forth into another week, we pray, blessed God, that we may be faithful to Thee, that we may be true to Thy word in all that we do. For we ask these things in His holy and blessed name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.